I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and this is Dying to Ask the Road to Paris. It is another Meet the Team episode where you and I will get to meet another member of the Hearst Olympic team. We will have three reporters in Paris this summer: me, Fletcher Mackel, who you met in a prior episode, and Jason Newton, who you and I will meet today. One of the responsibilities of the on-air Hearst team members is to do live shots for our stations during the Olympics. So here's how it works. Reporters rotate live shot duty, and I'll tell you right now, it is a grind of a day, so that's why we take turns doing it. And here's what it's like. For 6 to 7 hours straight, you stand in this area they call the live shot platform, and that's where NBC will have all the crews have designated live shot plug-in points. So it's where we will stand to do all of the reports that you see live back on our stations here in the U.S. At Hearst, we do reports for roughly 30-ish stations during our morning shows. Those reports happen every 5 minutes, sometimes faster, and you could do 50 a day. I would say the most I've ever had to do is about 60 in a day. But, you know, 50-ish is about average for that. Now, we love all of our stations, of course. But as a reporter, you do tend to look forward to certain stations because you develop a chemistry with the anchors. Pretty natural, right? You feel like you're kind of hanging with your friends. And one of my favorites over the years has been WBAL-TV. It's in Baltimore. And it's one of my favorites because of a guy named Jason Newton. He was a morning anchor there for years. And so we did live shots together for a really long time. Now Jason has gone to the dark side. He's an evening anchor, and he's going to be the third reporter heading to Paris. So you see, it's all coming together. There was a plan, someone else's plan, but there was a plan, and I'm excited to get to hang out with Jason this summer. So this conversation that you're about to listen to is actually the first time I had talked at length with Jason. And just like with Fletcher, it feels like we've known each other for years, which is an awesome sign heading into this project. Jason has worked at WBAL in Baltimore since 2013, and Baltimore is his hometown. So he has like second grade teachers who are looking out for him and calling in when he does something good or bad on TV. Jason spent 10 years before that working at other stations, including Milwaukee over the years. And like me, he has two sons. Unlike me, he used to be a teen boy, so I'm guessing he has, in theory, a better idea of what's actually going through their heads. But Jason did not start out wanting to be a journalist. On this Dying to Ask, what Jason thought he would be when he started college. He is a hard news guy, but he is all in on learning about Olympic sports. He'll tell us the new Olympic sport that he is very excited to cover. And Jason's hobby is something that he will take with him to Paris. Why my Instagram feed might start looking a lot better because of Jason Newton. Meet the team. Jason Newton is on this Dying to Ask Road to Paris podcast. Olympians, they're just different. Sure, they're fitter and faster, but they're mentally different too. Because when the body breaks down, the Olympic mindset takes over. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I've traveled to 10 Olympics for Hearst Television with my partner, Mike Domalog. But Dami and I were home for the last two games because of the pandemic. But this summer, the Olympics are back in all their glory, and we're going to Paris. Fans of the stands, the full athlete experience, and it's Paris. Through the end, join us for the backstories of how Team USA gets to the top of a podium and how you can add a little Olympic edge in your life. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast. We're really excited to have you on today. And I'm really excited to have you on the Olympic team. You and I have interacted over the years doing live shots and stuff, but we've never actually met.
No, this is the first. This is the first. It's the weird thing about TV is that you could talk to someone 100 times and never talk to them at all.
Yeah, exactly. But also feel like you know them and have chemistry.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Which is pretty funny. So tell people about a little bit about you. You work at WBAL, which is our NBC station in Baltimore.
Yeah, working in Baltimore, you know, in television kind of found me. I was convinced as a kid I was going to be a doctor. Like that was it. Ooh. There was nothing else to do.
What kind of doctor were you going to be?
I wanted to be like a pediatrician. I don't know. That seemed fun until I thought about giving kids shots. But, you know, I was doing all the summer programs and yada, yada, yada. I get to University of Maryland. I take organic chemistry, and I took organic chemistry again. And then I took it a third time. I was like, maybe this just isn't for me. And I found some folks over, you know, you're scrambling now to graduate. And I found some folks over the School of Journalism who really slowed me down and helped me to understand, that there are things that, maybe you do well. And I really took to writing, and I really took to just everything about journalism I just seemed to like. And I like meeting people. And so I left the University of Maryland and worked in Salisbury, Maryland, a very small station there, and then moved to Milwaukee and was there for about 10 years, long enough for our second son to be born, and our dog that was a puppy become a big old dog. And then home came calling from Baltimore. And pretty much all my family was here, and it's hard to say no to home. And it's a lot of fun. It's fun to see, I run into people from second grade all the time now. And it has been a good journey so far.
That's great. So you were doing back when you and I were doing live shows, you were doing mornings for a long time, right?
Yeah, so I was a zombie for a very long time. I was just going
Not as long
mornings.
as me.
Oh yeah, good point. I can't. Yeah, you got me beat. I was doing mornings in Milwaukee for a while, and then here in Baltimore for the first, 10, 9.5 years, it was mornings. And you really do get into rhythm. Like the alarm clock goes off at 2, you're at the front door at work at 3, and you lose sight of how weird it is.
Yeah.
And
Well, that's the
I
thing
get,
about being a zombie. Everybody
yeah,
else
right.
is.
But Deirdre, the joy of walking into Target at 11 a.m. and no
Oh.
one's there,
You're
or
talking my
grocery
language now.
shopping, right? You're the only person in line, or you can come home and take a nap and no one disturbs you.
Yeah. Or like you go home, you go to like volunteer at the school in the afternoon,
Yeah.
and they're like, that's so cool that you work part-time. I'm like, yeah, part-time at night, part-time in the day equals
Exactly.
up to full-time and then some.
Right. And people don't get the whole like, oh, but you get plenty of sleep, right? And I mean, yes, at 6 o'clock when everyone is outside and the sun is up and you can smell a barbecue grill, I'm
Yeah.
sleeping as much as I can. But yeah, but now this opportunity came to work in the evenings, and that's been a fun transition too. It's like,
So how long have you been doing the night shift then?
well, the funny thing is I was doing a split shift for a while. So I was doing the morning,
Mm.
I would go home and then I'd come back. And then so I switched over maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay, so it's still
And
relatively new.
yeah, I'm still waking up really early. But not at 2 a.m. But I'm enjoying it. Like it's fun to be on the end where the news happens versus sort of regurgitating what you may have already seen late night and into the morning show. Like it's a different kind of energy now.
Yeah, no, we do very different things. Like I always say, like at KCRA where I'm based in Sacramento, that like we almost have two different TV stations because our morning stuff is so different than night stuff. And that's not good or bad. It's just different because the need of the viewer is really different at that time too. I mean, like my goal in the morning is to make people get out of bed and go be productive people and then want to do it again the next day. Your job is
Sure.
to make sure that they find out everything that happened that day and then
Yeah.
they go to bed.
Yeah. And the resources are a little different too. In the afternoon, there's a helicopter, there are multiple
Yeah.
reporters, and there's breaking news. And there are a lot of things that some skills, like, yeah, the morning skills are completely different, like you said. And I'm relearning some of the evening skills that maybe I had,
Right.
eons ago. And I think that's part of the fun, of it also. And then on Sundays, I tape a show during the week, a public affairs show on Sundays. And then that's another beast, and that's another set of skills, a little bit of producing and some hosting and that kind of thing. So I've enjoyed the run here because I've had a chance to do so many different things.
And you know what? Both you, Fletcher, and I, the three of us all have said that exact same thing because
Yeah.
we all, I think, have about as much skin in the game in terms of being in this industry, but we all have continued to do different things. And I'm guessing that we probably have that same little thing, that same little like wire
You're
in all of us
right. And
that's just
none of us could sit at a desk and do taxes. You know what I mean?
never,
Like we
no.
couldn't sit in a cubicle.
God, no, people would be audited right and left if I was doing their taxes.
Right. We'd be in jail so quickly.
I'd get fired so fast if I had any
Yeah.
kind of like real job for sure.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Nobody wants us
Nobody
there.
needs to see that. But it's
No.
your morning skill. It's all those skills you learn in the morning that I think are going to come in handy in Paris this summer.
Oh,
That's where
good.
you're going to be relying on all of those days.
Well, and I'm the new guy, and I'll admit there's a little bit of angst because you want to be as good as you are at home, if you are good at home. In my
Yeah.
head, I perceive myself very good.
Yeah,
But
you're good.
but like you said, it's all new and it's all exciting, and I think the entire country is looking
Yeah.
towards this one event, and you get one shot at it. And so There's some folks who are sports diehards and they want to know how the swimming did down to every stroke. But there are other people who have never been out of the United States and want to know, is the Eiffel Tower really as cool as it looks? And so I'm getting pretty excited about the whole realm of it.
Well, I'm not the new person, and I still feel like that. I feel exactly like that because I think every time you take on a big assignment, you do feel kind of tested. You want to do a good job, and you want to like take advantage of it. But I think that there are a lot of eyeballs on this particular Olympics because the last two have sucked. You know,
Right,
we had
exactly.
life kind of sucked during that time. We had a pandemic. We had a lot of athletes who didn't get to have their families be in the stands. They didn't have fans in the stands. They performed to these empty buildings. And so now it's like the Olympics is back and it's real. And it's Paris. So like all the things are coming together and it's just going to be absolutely amazing. So I feel like this is like the big do-over for the last 5 years of the way the whole world had to live.
Sure.
So no
And I think,
pressure.
no pressure at all. But
No pressure.
and you probably remember as a kid, you probably have, I think everyone has Olympians that they remember.
Oh
I remember
yeah. Okay,
Carl
so who are
Lewis.
yours?
Carl Lewis, Flo Jo. I
Yeah.
remember when it was Dan and Dave. I think one of them made it and one of them
Yes.
didn't make it. And I mean, there are all these storylines that you watch from afar, or just knowing that it was in Atlanta or knowing it was in LA. And I remember Muhammad Ali. Was he lit the torch one year, and that was just big for me. Just all there are all these little milestones that I never thought I'd really go to the Olympics, to be honest with you. It was just one of those things that happens and you watch it on television. And so when the call comes, like I didn't even know what I had planned for this year, but I was an immediate yes.
Yes.
So like, if I'm gonna get a root canal that month and we're gonna move it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that it's hard to not want to be a part of,
Absolutely. There will be moments on this trip, by the way, that will feel like a root canal. So you may still get a little flavor of that.
Will you stop selling it that way?
There may be some moments. No, you got to prepare yourself. It's not
Very
going to be
funny.
all unicorns and rainbows, but it'll be a
Okay.
lot of unicorns and rainbows. The person that I remember watching as a kid, who I actually got to meet, and that's one of the other cool things, is you'll get to meet some of those Olympians of yesteryear, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I remember being like 8 and seeing that. My person was Bruce Jenner, and I
Oh, yeah.
remember in 2012 at the London Olympics, see, Bruce Jenner was working for Extra. Or E, one of those like entertainment type shows. He was doing daily interviews with them. And the area where he worked was exactly by the area where we worked. And he had to go out for his hits at the same time that we did. So every day I would like see him starting to walk out and I would kind of follow. And we kind of got into this pattern of almost every day walking out together. And I think at the time I was one of the few people who wasn't asking him about Kardashians. Because this was back, he was still, you know,
Sure.
very much part of the family and the show. I really wanted to talk about decathlon and how did you do this and what was that like? And I mean, I really like loved the track and field part of it. And then it was right after that that his whole life changed and
Sure,
all the other
sure.
things happened. But that was like for me kind of a thrill getting to talk to him about like what had happened back in the 70s.
See,
So.
I haven't had an athletic connection, but I see Michael Phelps's mom a lot because she was a teacher and a principal, and she runs a thing called the Exchangery, and it's sort of like a flea market almost for teachers to come in and get things for the classroom at a very reduced price or free. And I had the same experience. Like I don't. I mean, I'm sort of interested in how it worked for her and Michael, but in another way, my parents are both teachers, and so we end up talking about school for the whole time around. And it's just interesting to hear how normal people are, because I think in our head we have this starstruck, oh, you must be going to all kinds of commercial shoots and blah blah blah. Well, no, she's in school all day and she's dealing with the same thing that my parents are dealing with. You know, it's
100%.
it yeah, it's fun to just hear the everyday life of somebody.
Well, and I think the everyday life is the thing that makes it the most interesting all these months out is finding out that, you know, people have these dreams and these goals and these athletic pursuits, but they also have to go to the grocery store or the dry cleaner, or they got to figure out a way to pay their bills. And finding out how they do that is, I think, the really interesting thing because for most of them, it means a lot of sacrifice. And especially for people like his mother, although he peaked very early and obviously it worked really well. But, you know, there's a huge expense to raising an athlete who is able to compete at that level. And there's a lot of sacrifice that happens on the side of the families. And probably because of like where we are in life, sometimes it's the parents that I find the most interesting with the Olympics. Like, I love meeting the parents.
Well, it's like watching. I have a friend who plays AAU baseball. And they play. Plays in high school, but also AAU. And then there's a travel team. There's an elite team as well. And it's just, it is every weekend is pretty much going to be that sport. And you forget that, you know, this isn't just, they aren't, you know, fly by night. I swam really fast, and so why not try for the Olympics? Like, this has been their life for year after year. And so for a lot of them, but for all of them, I guess, you know, the possibility of being on the podium has probably been in their head since they were like 10. So of course it's, you know, of course it's the whole family. Like it's fun. I mean, they're all living through that moment. You know, there was a maybe it was last year, 2 years ago, there was a husband and wife in the stands and they're watching their son or daughter. I think it was in gymnastics, and you could see them twist and they're doing the whole routine in the stands. You're like, I don't need that pain. I don't want to.
So true. My younger son is a water polo player. He's good, really good water polo player, and that's how I feel. Like I have to get up. I have to move. The anxiety, the stress from all of it is just sometimes too much. And what I've discovered is if I have a camera and I take pictures, it goes away because I think I go into work mode because it feels like I'm on a shoot versus I'm sitting there trying to figure out how to make someone feel better if it doesn't go the way they had hoped to in a game.
I can
So
totally
it's
see
funny, like all of those parents, whether it's going through the moves themselves in the stands or like finding that coping mechanism. I know some parents who have to walk out of the room if
that.
something's big is happening.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I remember my brother playing high school basketball, and my mother would leave, and I didn't quite understand why she was leaving. Until one game, we're sitting out there, and she stayed, and the ref ejected her. I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. Maybe this is
That's
a little bit
funny.
too much for everybody.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, like on the personal side. You're a dad.
Yep, dad, I got 2 kids. I have a soon to be high schooler. He's in 8th grade now. And so he'll be going to Baltimore School for the Arts, where his brother's a student now. He's 16, and his senior year is coming up next year. And he's, you know, we're going through, I mean, we get a college mailer every day. And so I think they're both equally excited for other reasons. And it is fun to watch. You know, the Facebook memory last week was of my oldest in Taekwondo when he was probably 8, doing the breaking board day. And that feels like yesterday. And now, you know, he drives us both to school with his learner's permit. And my youngest is he is a violinist, but actually is going to go to school for studio and stage design when he goes to school for the arts.
Interesting.
So it's, I mean, it's it, they are very it is very fun to I didn't know how much fun being a parent would be. And to see some of these milestones, or the thought of what I thought my kid would be when they were 2 versus what they are now, 14 and 16, just blows me away. And so I'm
Do
a
you find in the job that we are having teenagers has changed your perspective a bit on the job in a way that even having babies didn't? Because I know that as a journalist, I changed a lot when I became a parent, but I have found having teenagers has changed my life entirely.
You're right. Well,
Good
you're
ways and bad
definitely.
ways.
You're nervous as hell, that's for sure. I mean, you're
All the
nervous about
time.
kids being on the, you know, driving the car by themselves or whatever. You know, because I think I always sometimes I call myself worst case J because I'll think of the worst case scenario
Yes.
sometimes.
All I
And
think
so,
about is ways you can die.
yes, I right. And it is so horrible, but it is so like because that's what we do all day.
And we do these stories, and they'll tell me, they're like, please don't tell me you did a story about this, please. I'm like, but I did, and it can't happen.
Right. And what also gets me is that because they're all connected, they get alerts all day. And I don't know what they subscribe to, but I'll mention sort of a story in a very light way. Not in a light way, maybe just not as stinging. And my oldest will say, no, that's not what happened. The guy came in and did this, that, and the other thing, and then this happened and this exploded. And I'm like, how did you know all this? But they're all,
Reddit.
yeah, they're all connected. I mean, they've gotten an alert about everything. And so I think just having that care of knowing that I would rely on my father to come home or mother to come home from work and listen to overhear the conversation at the table. Now they know the conversation. And so that brings a new element to it.
And they're not listening because they got AirPods in. And there's that.
Yep, there's that too. And you say things 30 times, and it's the 40th time that they hear
Exactly. I
you.
know. That is pretty much how it goes. So, what are you most looking forward to on the Olympic trip?
Oh, Deirdre, there's so much. I'm, you know, I'm just looking forward to the experience as a whole. Yeah, I'd love to see athletes in their prime. That's great. I love to. I always have this vision of closing my eyes and hearing different languages. I look forward to just seeing Paris itself. I've never left the country, and I mean, Mexico maybe, and that's about as far as in international in Canada. And just being able to experience how other people live. I think that there's so much that we miss out on when we stay in our little bubble, and I'm excited to not be in the bubble for a little while and just experience life. But I love the adrenaline. I've met two athletes so far over Zoom who are preparing for the Olympics and hoping to get in, and to hear how excited they are. I want to see that and be part of it. I think, I don't have a precise answer. I just think that the overall being in the mix is really exciting to me.
I think the thing that you'll find that you enjoy the most, because when people ask me, like, well, what's the best part of it? I've always said it, the best part of it is actually our little group. I mean, it's super fun to get to meet the athletes and see all these great things, but the camaraderie of the group that gets created, you get to know each other really, really quickly. Like within 24 hours, you pretty much know each other. I mean, it's a little bit like going to summer camp and you had a best friend in 48 hours. That's a little bit of what it's like. And when the group it, like just gels, like I think this one is really going to gel, it's kind of magic and it's fun. Just really fun, no matter how tired you are, no matter how cranky you are, whatever. It just is a lot of fun and it's finite. You go for about 3.5 weeks, you go, 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 and then you hit a wall and you stop and you go home. And it's a blast. And then you forget about everything, how hard it was. And it's just like the greatest thing ever.
Well, I appreciate everyone's candor in the two or three meetings we've had, because I think everyone says, listen, if you think this is a vacation, it's not. Or
No,
Dami will
it's not.
say, Dami's like, I'm working out and I've got sacks of rice in my pockets to make sure I'm, doing this, that, and the other thing. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, I need to walk with rice in my pockets now. But it's appreciated because now people know that we're not just going and sitting in the stands and watching. Like it's the spice of life. It is the athlete's training. It's the, is it the thrill of victory and agony of defeat? Like it's all of those things, and we're able to capture it. And that is, while it's daunting, it's also really cool.
Yeah, and there's no greater compliment that someone can give you than to tell you later, I felt like I was there. And that's really the whole thing, is to make people feel like they're there as well. And that's the beauty of the way we can tell stories now and having social media and the ability to take people places live. Like they really can feel like they're along for the ride in a way that we couldn't do even 15 years ago. It's different.
I'm looking forward to it. And the food, my father's already put in a
Oh,
bid
yeah.
for. He went not that long ago, and he's like, "Listen, man, I know you're working, but if you don't get some authentic food, you have failed this mission."
He's right. He's totally right. And you'll get authentic everything. It'll be
Excellent.
amazing. Well, what, like, do you have any questions? What can I answer for you?
Well, I'm just curious for you. I mean, I think people don't know how hard we work, and I guess I'd like to pull the curtain back for people just to let them know. Like we go because we're feeding a morning show. We're feeding, I guess viewers know about the ozone that we do. We feed the evening. Like this is work.
Yeah, it is work. That said, I'll be honest, most people don't want to hear about how hard it is because you're at an Olympics, right? I mean, it's kind of like, don't tell me about the labor, just show me the baby. And they really just want us to have us show them the baby, with like a croissant in its mouth or something in Paris. Yeah, they are. They're really long days because it's a 24-hour news cycle and because stuff happens and there's a lot of stuff to do. I would say we average or have averaged in the past 18-hour days easily. And you want to because you get so into it, you want to tell every story that you see and you want to be able to do it. That said, you kind of figure out a flow to it. And when you hit a wall, you step back and you take a little bit of a break. And that's where being really good teammates comes in handy. Because sometimes you got to look at someone like, I'm going to go, Jason, you need to go take a nap. Go take a nap. Like, just go over there, like, lay down for like 20 minutes. Just like, give yourself a break or go take a walk or like, pull back from it or whatever. And you would do that on breaking news at home too. Like you would look at your partner and say, let me get this next one. Like you need to like take a little break. Or you tell someone like, hey, I need like 30 seconds. I need 30 minutes. I need whatever. And that's like part of just being a really good partner on air with what we do. But it is a lot of fun. It's singular focus. It's like going to summer camp, or it's a little bit like Neverland with Peter Pan because none of it really seems real. It's like, how can this possibly be happening? And yet it is. And the really cool thing is knowing that all over the world, no matter what country you're in, people are paying attention that day. They know that Michael Phelps did that swim. They know they saw Mama Phelps in the stands doing her thing. They know all those things. And everybody like around the globe is kind of united in that. And it sounds so cheesy, but it's true. Because there's no other thing other than Taylor Swift that brings that many people together. There just isn't. And that's what makes it kind of magical.
I only have one
That's what makes it magical. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed. As I look behind me and I look at your pic, why is your house so clean? Like, this is, you can't work in news and your house be spotless. Like, you got to throw some pins around or something.
Dude, smoke and mirrors. There's the mess over
now,
there.
Now I feel at home. I was getting a little worried.
Jason, I am a mom.
Okay.
But that said, I can keep this much order.
Yeah, I love that.
It's funny. I do record the podcast at home. I had to start doing that during the pandemic. And then I just never really brought the stuff back. I've just been doing it here. And I actually kind of like it. It's nice and private. But I record in a laundry room because in a house with boys, it's the one room they won't walk into because they know if they walk in, I'll hand them stuff to fold. Yeah. So it's private.
Or if you do it in the shed with a lawnmower and brooms are, you'll never become buddy.
Exactly. I am a little bit of a neat freak too, though. There is that.
All right, maybe not the shed.
There is that. Well, it's been really great getting to know you, and I can't wait to go to Paris because this summer, I think we're going to have an absolute blast, and we have lots of stories to do before that time. But I'm wondering, like, what's the best way for people to keep up with you on social media and see when you're posting about all the things?
Sure. Yep. I'm a big Instagram guy. So it's Jason_Newton11 because I work at Channel 11. And I'm big on photography right now. I don't know why that became a thing, but it is. But I look forward to capturing a lot of Paris and getting there and showing some video and all that good stuff.
I was going to ask you about that. Is that your hobby? My
it
hobby
is.
I like running and reading. Those are like my two things. Is photography your thing?
Photography really has become a thing of mine. My brother was huge. He's a big, my brother was one that he was a type that knew how to do everything. And one Christmas, he gave me a camera similar to his, and it just sat. And unfortunately, passed away not long ago. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to pick this up and continue Jimmy's legacy. And that's what it's been. So it's self-taught. It is fun. There are days, first of all, every picture I've taken is a mistake. You get back and you're like, what? I took that. But it's fun. It's a good stress relief. And I enjoy it.
I love that. Isn't it fun to do something creative too?
Yeah.
It uses a different part of your brain.
It's almost mindless. It's just you and you see something you like and you hit the shutter and you're just hoping that it's good. And if it's not, you just hit it again. And I enjoy that.
Yeah. Do you remember when we were kids though, when you had to wait like 2 weeks to find out what your picture was? I was trying to describe that to my teenagers. They just like the furrowed brow as they tried to understand.
Yeah. You remember the little photo butt? The little place in the parking lot and you go and you drop it off?
Yes. Now they're all coffee kiosks.
Right.
I do remember it that. It's crazy.
Like the idea of having to wait 7 days for a picture you took, you've forgotten about the event at that point.
I know. Or you'd be going through the 24 or the 36, because that's what the role came in. And you'd just be flipping, 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 just hoping, let there be one.
Yeah.
And sometimes there wasn't one. And then sometimes there were like two, and it was pretty magic.
And now your phone has 6,000 photos on it.
Oh, way more than that. But that is good stuff. All right. We could do this all day, but we are going to have a blast. And again, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Sure. Yeah, this was fun. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Keep those Olympic story ideas coming. Email is the best way to let me know about an athlete or a coach or somebody who's got kind of an interesting Olympic connection that you think I need to know about and do a story about. Email me, dfitzpatrick@hearst.com. Hearst is spelled H-E-A-R-S-T. Or you can always reach out on Instagram @runreadsip. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and this is Dying to Ask, The Road to Paris.